This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today I'd like to, open the show by talking about a little current events. I know that people are listening to the immigration fiasco with millions of people streaming across the border, and it struck me that it is complete hypocrisy on the government's part on more levels than one. But from a medical standpoint, the fact that you can allow people to come into the country who have no documentation of what they have, no one's checking them, and there are now stories popping up where people are bringing over communicable diseases, and one such disease is tuberculosis, which when I was a resident in New York training, that was one of the major things that we worried about. There was a whole unit with quarantined patients with TB, and the precautions that you had to take to go in there were incredible. And that was really kind of predating all of the multiple drug-resistant strains that exist now. So it was unsafe then, and now it's become unsafe on more levels than one, on steroids, essentially. And I listened to a radio broadcast yesterday where they said that children were coughing up blood and showing signs of active TB. Now, I doubt that the border control people in immigration, people who are transporting these folks on buses, are taking any isolation precautions. So whether you like it or not, we now have exposed Americans to a disease that is almost eradicated. I mean, it was so aggressively treated and quarantined. I mean, any person working in a hospital had to go through all sorts of tests, TB tests, chest x-rays. Every year, they still ask us to do questionnaires on whether or not we show symptoms as healthcare providers or workers of tuberculosis, because it is so dangerous. And you're working with populations in the hospital, obviously, that are their immune system is taxed, put it mildly. Senior citizens, people in the ICU, children. This is not a benign condition. And the fact that these people take this so liberally, Nancy Pelosi going to the border, declaring that we're all Americans, I mean, it's ridiculous, totally, you know, abrogating her duties as a congresswoman. She took an oath to defend the country and is allowing us as citizens and people who are here illegally to be put at risk. Doesn't affect her. She's going to go back to her compound in D.C. or to her compound in California and not be affected by this. So she wants to take all these children home. Good luck. You know, and it's not about not having compassion or empathy. It's not about that. It's about life and death. You know, this is really what it comes down to. And nobody's really looking at this on a medical level, and nobody's looking at this on a human cost level. Imagine walking, that they claim these children walk all the way from Guatemala and El Salvador into Mexico, and then they come up to the United States. I can't even imagine what that trek is like as a child without a parent that they claim, or a small family, or a woman and a child, what they have to traverse to get up here. So if they're coming up and they have active signs of disease, or lice, or scabies, or whatever the disease is, and I understand there's leprosy still in South America, which it's Americans in the U.S., we've never, as a doctor, I've never treated, and as, you know, patient population, it doesn't exist really here. Well, we're about to get exposed to things that we have never seen. Dengue fever, chikungunya fever, all sorts of mosquito-borne illnesses that our quote-unquote vaccine campaign can't touch. And what happens when you have an epidemic? What happens if the government is now, I don't trust the government to be able to protect me since they're not trying to do it on the border. So where do we stand? We have a healthcare system that's a disaster, that is even more of a disaster as the time goes on, because people are finding out that they can't afford they can't afford the premiums. I saw a patient yesterday who had Obamacare and was trying to figure out what his allowable medical care would be, because it's so restricted. They charged them for tests that they said was out of network, although the doctor was in network. It was just talk about bureaucracy. that doesn't work. That whole system is just designed to make you, it's like a rat in a cage where you're, or a maze, I should say. You're just going from one step to the next, hoping that you're going to get a favorable outcome. And it's not happening. I mean, I just think of the millions of people who are in the country, bust in. I'm just thinking about this from an infectious disease perspective. Everybody who's come in contact with these people, their clothing, the people in the bus, let's say there are people coughing on the bus and you're the bus driver, you take this home to your family. I can't even imagine how this patient zero could potentially affect everybody in the United States. And they are busing them to California and Massachusetts and New York and Washington, all over. As if this is, it's like Disneyland, the government thinks this is. It's not. And when people start coming down with illnesses that doctors have never seen, then what happens then? You know, my critical thinking mind, Dave, came up with the thought that this is not by accident, that this is color and piven on a different kind. No, I should say not, because it's always the same thing. It's overwhelm the system, break the system, and recreate it. But this is on a different level. It's not using us. They've tried to foment some unrest amongst Americans for years. I mean, everything. Race baiting, class baiting, sexual orientation baiting, you know, you name it, there's an ism that's been exploited by these progressives and Republicans. I just call them globalists because that's what they are. And now that nothing has happened, you know, they tried to do the gun control. That didn't really work. You know, all of these new mandates and regulations in schools and business and everything, we just haven't taken the bait. But it doesn't have to be us. So if you bus in a bunch of thousands of desperate people, which just – how do you justify bringing people into the country, dropping them off at a Greyhound bus station without food, water, just the clothes on their back, and say, come back for this hearing, this INS hearing, in a couple weeks? Here's your voucher. What do you think is going to happen to those folks? They have no means to support themselves. When they get desperate and hungry, who are they going to attack? I mean, this is human nature here. Who are they going to go for? It's the people in the neighborhoods who they have access to. When that happens, and I'm sure that it will, aside from the M13s and all the gang members and drug dealers coming across who live on violence and love it, this is like open season to them. We don't even know what's happening because it's not on the news, but I can imagine people on the border towns, ranchers, people who are isolated in some way. It must be like Walking Dead out there to them. You know, they're trying to defend their property, and nobody cares. Nobody's looking at this. It's all about trying to control our emotions by putting a vulnerable, helpless child on TV and then not doing anything to help them. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. How do you have children? The border control agents changing diapers. Does that even make sense to you on any level? So when these people start getting desperate and shooting and robbing and God knows what else is going to happen, I think the end result is going to be some sort of militarized response, some sort of police state response. And as somebody said yesterday, once it's there, once these mechanized battalions roll out, will they ever leave? Probably not.
They like taxes.
Texas is under siege.
No, like taxes.
Oh, like taxes. Well, Texas too is under siege.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, once they get their hooks in, they're not leaving. So then you have curfews. Then you have loss of freedom of movement, speech. Name it.
Maybe martial law will be in effect. I want to ask you, how fast, in your opinion, can this spread? The TB.
It's a droplet. They just need to cough in your face. They just need to share your glass. This is highly communicable. And if someone's coughing blood, that's active TB. We're not talking about somebody where it's, you know, they've had it, their body dealt with it, they took medication, and they can't be infectious. We're not talking about that. We're talking about full-blown active TB. Kills people. And there's no real treatment for it. Good luck getting, and it's so slow growing, too, that you can be exposed to it. But you may not show the symptoms right away. So you've managed to infect how many extra people? Nobody knows until everybody comes down with it. And by that time, I mean, it's just, It's indolent, it's deadly, and it's a little bit under the wire until you really get into active coughing blood, etc. And basically, remember they had sanatoriums for this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but this is not something that was fun to have. I mean, you were out of commission if you did make it through. Either your lung function wasn't the same, you were a weakened state, you've never recovered. This is potentially what we're talking about. Self-inflicted by the government. There is no excuse for this. And all the people who are saying that you're racist, if you have a question about it, should be... I don't even know what should happen to them. We're being victimized on all fronts. I take exception to that as a physician. Every physician should be up in arms because we're about to get major blowback from this. Someone can come into my office with I have a chronic cough, and I've been exposed because I can't... You don't know.
You can't get a mask on. Does a mask help?
You need a non-rebreathable mask. You need a special mask that you literally filter in a different way. I mean, these are isolation rooms that we used to go into where the exhaust or the ventilation system was almost like a negative pressure that it cleaned the air. And we had a special mask on. And we had isolation gowns and eye gear on. It's like one of those hazmat suits almost. Nobody's going to do that. You're in your 7-Eleven, you're in your pumping your gas. I just spent a weekend watching the marathon of The Walking Dead, which I never wanted to watch because I'm like, oh, this is really crappy, but I got sucked in. And I'm seeing so many parallels between that system and where we're going. You can sit around watching video games and watching Oprah and hoping for the best, or you can start thinking about how do I really protect myself and my family, because it really is coming down to that. Ultimately, they really told us what this is about already. If you listen to Pelosi, you listen to Petraeus, they asked about the future of America. And they both said, it's about the North American Union. It's being ushered in as we speak. They signed this, under Clinton? Long time ago, but they never implemented it because we were up in arms about it. Well, this is an underhanded way of ushering it in. We're not talking about people who, and I don't mean this, but this is true. I don't mean this to sound rude, but it's true. They're not going to be productive members of society. Even if they're children, you have to wait for them to go through school, to actually become adults, to become productive members. These are not people who are going to start businesses right away. These are not people who are going to employ people. They're going to enter our social system, and they're going to have to use the services. The fact they're asking for $3 billion to run this should tell you something. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
Did you miss the show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that allergy season in Georgia is year-round? Beginning in July through November, ragweed is the predominant pollen. But February through May, tree pollen causes allergy symptoms. Grass pollen occurs from mid-May through the beginning of July. If you suffer from daily nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, headache, ear clogging, or popping, or a chronic cough, these symptoms may be due to allergy and not infection. You should also think of allergies if there is no fever, chills, or colored mucus. Treatment should include nasal salt water sprays over the counter, or antihistamines that do not cause drowsiness. If you have persistent headaches, a decrease in your sense of smell, or nosebleeds, you should see an ear, nose, and throat physician. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Really, I wish you guys could listen to what goes on in the break. It's awesome.
Well, we can just leave the mic on and keep on going.
I'm not sure people can handle it, Dave. Let's talk a bit about politics, because it does come down to everything's now about politics. It's no longer about medicine. We were led to believe that the government would take care of us. You know, those of us who want to be taken care of, we think this is a big, you know, take a pill and it'll all be okay. It's not. Taking care of you by the cradle to grave, it's not. It can't be what you think it's going to be. If it were a small country, maybe. But we're talking about 300 plus million people and an unknown number that's under the radar and with more coming in. And somebody used an analogy of a boat, which I thought was really excellent because it puts this into perspective. If you have 10 people on a boat and it can only fit 15 people and people are coming in, more people are streaming into this boat, nobody survives. The boat will sink. It will capsize. You will not make it. And it's not about empathy here. It's about survival. And we do need immigration. Every country needs immigration, but the right way. So there's nothing wrong with people. As I said before, my father was an immigrant. He spent years in England after he left Antigua before he was summoned or allowed to come to the United States. You know, he didn't just come. And he had to be sponsored by my aunt. And when he got here, he had a job already set up. And it was just organized. He didn't just come into the country under the radar. And there's reasons for that. One, so from a health perspective, you can make sure that somebody's not going to come and infect the whole country, which is reasonable. That's not saying that you can't come. But a period of quarantine, that's what they did on Ellis Island, for God's sake. People just didn't just come in. People who were sick stayed in the hospital section or the infirmary there. They didn't just come into the city. Once you let this cart out of the barn, it doesn't come back. Lord knows our healthcare system can't tolerate it. The ERs are already overwhelmed because of Obamacare. Like, that worked. Wasn't that supposed to lower the ER admission rate? Wasn't that supposed to lower the cost? Wasn't that supposed to lower the premiums? Wasn't that supposed to allow you to see any doctor that you want? I mean, the list is endless of the crap that they spewed. None of it's true. So you have people going into ERs, which are overwhelmed, understaffed. Now, with doctors leaving those systems, let's backtrack, because we've talked about this on the show ad nauseum, but now it's all coming to pass. What I said would happen is actually happening. So you have hospital systems that have gotten bigger and bigger, all on the promise that they were going to get the money from Obamacare, that they were going to get the Medicaid and Medicare, 30 million extra people, and they were going to get paid for, you know, getting in the pot with the government. That's not working. So now we see. I love this. I mean, I love this because it's ironic. They can't afford all of the build-out that they did. They're taking loans. They are firing doctors. There's a section of doctors called locum tenens, which is a traveling doctor who doesn't have their own practice, maybe close to retirement, just does contract work where they go out to the hospitals and they provide services under contract. And they take up the slack for people who are on staff who can't take as much. There's not enough people to take call. There's not enough people to provide the services. Well, those people are being fired or their time is being limited because the hospitals cannot afford to pay for them. Gee, I wonder why. It's because Medicare has lowered their reimbursement for hospitals. Gee, I saw that one coming. Not only do they not pay you, they'll take the money back because you admitted somebody less than 30 days or a patient got a bed sore. Or they got an infection post-op. Those are all reasons now for the government to take money from the... Welcome to our world as private physicians. Good for you. Now you understand. It's not something that you did. It wasn't bad care. But under the government boilerplate of things that run afoul, you're on that list now. And they will just come and take the money and fine your butt. And when they start adding in I guess you can call them like damages or interest... You're actually taking millions away from the hospitals. Now they've had all this extra physical plant that they've built out. 50 flat-screen TVs and 50 ORs. That's one of the hospitals I used to work at that I remember that they did. And now they can't afford it. Now you've taken a system that had multiple small community-based hospitals where if you went into an ER, you got treated by an ENT. You didn't have to get in an ambulance and drive 2 hours away to a center to be taken care of by an ENT or an ophthalmologist or a neurosurgeon or whatever. You actually had care at the site that you went to. It's now all call centers and transfer centers. And if you're in a rural area, it's everybody's rural now. So even if you're in a city setting, if your hospital doesn't specialize in heart attack, you're going to be transferred to another city, you know, somewhere where you've got to pick up stakes and move, which is not safe. It's not safe. How can anybody say it's safe to have, a gunshot wound probably will never end up in a hospital because it goes to a level one. But a heart attack might, a stroke might. I can tell you that ENT definitely does. An airway emergency, you have a tumor, you obstruct. You may not be able to get care at the hospital that you, or the ER that you walk into. An airway is life or death. If you don't get that airway, the person's dead. How many people are dying that we don't even know about because they couldn't get help in time? Or a GYN emergency. Not everybody has GYN ER call anymore. So you have all these doctors sitting in the community, but they don't take ER call. So it's like they don't exist if you walk into the ER. I mean, this is the system that we've created because you've made it so onerous to try to keep your practice open that you're trying to limit your exposure from liability and your exposure in terms of doing a service and not getting paid for it. Every time I walked into an ER, every time any private physician walks into an ER on call, they're doing it for free. Those who are lucky enough to be paid for their services are rare, few and far between. So if you get stuck with a ton of ER call and you're in the OR for 6 hours and that patient becomes your patient after you've operated on them and they can't pay, you don't have any government pot that you can access for indigent care, charity care. You don't. So what people did, which is self-preservation, they stopped taking ER call because it's not worth it to them. Because they could be sued and be out of business in 20 seconds because they wanted to do the right thing. And this is what the government has sown. Obamacare has just expanded this system. It hasn't improved it. And what they're trying to do now is just fill it with whatever warm body they can put in there, whether you're from a foreign country, foreign graduate, whether you're a physician assistant, whether you're a nurse practitioner. They had to do it because you have to expand the scope of practice to get something done. And doctors, they believe, are superfluous. You know, we don't do anything. We just charge, take tonsils out, cut feet off, and just make money. Complete crap. And without doctors, the system won't. I don't care what anybody says. Without a doctor, well-trained, the system cannot work. I don't care how much the government wants to put an evidence-based menu together about how you treat a sore throat or a heart attack. If it's wet, dry it. If they come in with a sore throat in the hospital, do a complete, you know, million-dollar workup, whether they need it or not. This is what they're doing. This is why medicine costs so much. You know, one of the doctors came on the show a few months back and said he's a nephrologist, kidney doctor, and people come in with any kind of infection. There's no thought process involved. They get a million-dollar workup. They get put on the most expensive antibiotic, the most toxic antibiotic, before the cultures even come back because it's a cookbook. When you could just do a culture, put them on something that's reasonable, maybe that's not going to blow out their hearing or their kidneys or their liver. I mean, these are not small, benign things that happen to you. You end up with CT scans. You end up with vancomycin, which is one of those antibiotics that can cause ringing in the ear and hearing loss that can damage your kidneys. You have to monitor the blood level constantly. I mean, it's not a benign antibiotic. You end up with consults that cost you more money that don't need to be called because if someone understood pathophysiology, they would know you don't need a super-duper consult. You just need to think. None of those things go on anymore. The cost of healthcare is padded to top it all off, so they're charging whatever they want to because the government will pay a portion of it or they'll get some poor sucker on self-pay to believe that they owe them millions of dollars and they'll make a payment arrangement for the rest of their life. You know, this is just a system that's completely corrupt, crony-driven, and not based in healthcare delivery anymore. It's based on staying alive. So when I walk into a hospital last week. It's all about the electronic medical record. How to put the diagnosis in correctly. How to make sure that the diagnosis ties to the antibiotic that I wrote. How to make sure that I document the time properly so the hospital can be... All they care about is getting paid and not having their money clawed back. It's survival mode for them. It's awful. So you add in all these people who really are sick, who really do need to be in a hospital, who can't go there. Or if they do go there, they're never going to be able to pay it. And so they enter the charity pot that the hospital actually does get from the government. What happens when that's exhausted? I mean, and I'd give you one last example. I was in the OR, spoke to a nurse, and she said that, you know, it was the end of the day, and the outpatient surgery center was, they were getting a lot of heat from the administration that no doctor should do cases that last a certain, because of overtime, et cetera. So she said there's one patient that they had, this plastic surgeon had an illegal immigrant who hurt himself, I think on a job, I'm pretty sure, but ended up needing multiple, I think he had 16 surgeries because of damage to his arm, some sort of infection that got out of control. Every time he walked into the OR, hospital ate the bill. So the hospital is paying for this. The doctor, I think he's probably on staff, so they're paying for his time. But somebody's paying the price, and the patient is not in any kind of health care, not on Obamacare, not on insurance. This is what goes, you multiply that by every hospital in this country, by the people coming in, add that to this list. What happens to our healthcare system? I think it breaks. We may not do it because we're not signing up for Obamacare, but trust me, this will break it. And then the government will have the answer. Single payer. They're going to try to get this through hook or crook. That's how I see it. And I'm on the front line. And things I hear, I'm constantly amazed and shocked when I hear things from people who work in the hospitals constantly. Nobody's happy. The doctors are leaving in droves. They're retiring. They're leaving major hospital systems and going private if they can. They are, and these are good doctors, good, experienced doctors who are tired of being treated like crap and are opting out. They're never coming back. This is an ICU physician I talked to now. I guess he's been in practice over 20 years. Excellent doctor. He's leaving to go to leave the state. This is, it's tragic. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Oh, I wish we could have our, again, talk about what's going on in the break. I'm speechless as to where this is going, Dave, I have to say. I mean, we're talking again about the politics of this, the optics of this. We know Obamacare sucks. We know that. The Democrats know it, too. And now they're trying to act like they were never in favor of it. I mean, now they're talking about getting rid of the employer mandate, which never should have been. I mean, obviously, it's going to kill jobs. It's already done it. It's not working the way it's putting their political lives in jeopardy this fall. So all of a sudden, they think we shouldn't have the employer mandate. It should be killed. Really? All of a sudden? And, oh, I was never in favor of it anyway. Like, they never wanted it. So we should just forget that and vote for them. Honestly, I really do need to have a progressive or liberal person. I wouldn't call them liberal because it's not liberalism. These people aren't liberal. If it's not their way, then they just want it not to exist. They demonize it. Obviously, if you disagree with them, there's something wrong with you. Racist, sexist, homophobic, anti-American. You name the list that they're going to try to hang on you to shut you down so that you don't expose their retarded thinking. I mean, it's just ridiculous thinking. How can you really believe, and it's in your face now, that it doesn't work? You've given money to the government. The government's programs have been rolled out. Everything that goes wrong with the country, the government's the answer for them. It's not working. You have more people on welfare. You have more people getting disability, more than I think it's ever been in the history of the country. You've got the lowest workforce ever. You have parity. So now they're talking about parity of pay between women and men. And the White House doesn't even do it. Yet they don't even call the White House on their hypocrisy. It's complete. I don't even know if it's blinders or if it's just a disconnect between what they think they want and reality. And if you look at any of these, the historical track of socialized countries, we're watching what's happening with healthcare. If you go across the pond and look at England, look at Sweden, look at Germany, go up and look at Canada, their socialized medical systems are not working. They're privatizing them. They are limiting access. They're going bankrupt. They're hiring private overseers to help run them. It's a disaster. And the people who have money used to come to the United States. I don't know where they're going to go now.
I think you answered it. They're going to go overseas to where
but Thailand or China or wherever or India for cheaper care. And they don't seem to realize or recognize the fact that we're trying to get into the system that's already proven not to work. If they were to really fix the system, they would cut all the graft, the cronyism out. And it would work beautifully. Let the market work. It, by definition, breeds a cheaper system because there's competition. It breeds innovation because I want your business and I'm going to work for it and I'm going to give you customer service and I'm going to give you minimally invasive, top-of-the-line care and keep your costs low because I want to be competitive. If the government's handing you things, there's no competition. If the government is picking winners and losers and you can be as crappy and bureaucratic and just unwieldy as you want because no one's ever going to get rid of you. You know, the government's going to support you. This goes on in the banking industry. It's going on in TV. All the cable news networks, MSNBC does come to mind. Nobody's watching that. Or they have like a 500,000 viewers or something craziness. And they're still on TV. Does that make sense to you? Even Jay Carney got a job. I think it's on MSNBC. Yeah, obviously, you know, it's a dumping ground for propaganda. I think the government's actually just paying them and supporting them just to keep them on air. This is what you get when you want the government to take over and when you want to, you know, give up your rights. This is just not working on any level.
You know, you ask where is it going, and you and I have talked about this in the past, and maybe there's a good side of this coin. I don't know if you can call it good or call it survival, But I think what's going to matriculate out of all of this will be the fact that, like you and I are friends, I don't use this adversely. I know if something happens, I got a doctor. I can call my friend that's a doctor, and she's going to take care of me and take care of my family. So, what may be the propagation over a period of time is that, unfortunately, I don't have any specialty other than running my mouth, but I can't fix your tires, but maybe I know the guy that has the tires that we can get that done, or has the mechanic, or can install a hot water heater, or whatever it happens to be. And instead of this, we've brought ourselves into this massive system of depending on, like you said, depending on the government or depending on this massive whatever, and it may get back to become very communal again.
It should. That's the answer. That is how you break the system. I don't believe anymore that I can vote my way, into a system that's going to pull back and start thinking about me as a citizen and care.
We only got idiots running.
And they have the money, and they want the system to continue. And it's obvious, after all of these things have rolled out over the last 7 years, 8 years, longer, 12 years, we can go back. Because this government or this administration is not doing anything new. They're finishing what was started. Remember, we talked about NAFTA. That was set in place back in the 80s. This has been going on since FDR, if you really want to go back that far. The New Deal, all the socialized system where the government is setting up artificial means to pay you, to support you. Whoever holds the pocketbook controls the whoever controls the purse strings has the power. If you really think about it that way, then there's no way that you would want the government to control you, unless you really just want to be a baby and be fed pablum, and someone tells you when to laugh, when to go to bed, when to die at this point. This is not living. I mean, Walking Dead analogy, where they want to create zombies, and they do this by overwhelming the system. You're too sick to care, too busy to pay attention, too depressed, and you beg distraction, and you just want it all to go away because it's so overwhelming. Why try? And they keep telling you, they keep trying to make you believe, you're only one person, why try? You can't make a difference. That is the mantra that's coming online from the time you're in grade school. Don't be different. Be like everybody else. If you are an outlier, they're going to bully you. You're going to get bullied on cyberbullying, or you won't get a job because you're all sorts of things which you can't do, as opposed to if you're competent and if you have a skill, and everybody has a skill, it's just different. If you exploit your skill, hone your craft, be self-sufficient, they don't want that. They don't want you to say, well, I can't get a job, so I'm going to make my own business. Forget this. I'm not going to work for anybody. I'm going to work for myself. They don't want that. Because that person is an agitator, and that person will see things and step away from the table instead of going, let me double down on being treated like crap. I'm not going to do that. This is a perfect example. Did you hear about this experiment? And this just typifies what's going on in the United States. They put people in a room. They withdrew their distractions. No cell phone, no internet. You just had to sit in a room and be with yourself. And no other stimulus. And people couldn't handle it. They couldn't even do it for 15 minutes. So they gave them they said, if I shock you, they gave them, I'm like, how did this go? They shocked them.
I thought they had the button that they could shock themselves.
No, that came later.
Oh, okay.
That's a different experiment. This is recent. You're talking about I think it's the Milgram experiment, where that's a prison experiment, but that's a completely different one than this one. This was, if you want stimulation, people say that they would pay $5 not to be shocked again, because they actually shocked them, and they didn't like it. But then they put them back in the room and said, you have a choice. Do you want to be alone with yourself, or would you rather be shocked, just for any kind of stimulation? And a majority of the people said, I'd rather get a shock than be alone by myself in a room with my thoughts. Wow. So you'd rather be you might be hurt, abused. This is the mindset. I'd rather the government treat me like crap, go through a pat-down process in the airport, let my children be indoctrinated in a school where they have drills where it's frightening. I mean, they're coming in with riot gear, doing these drills where your shooter's in the building. You have to run into a room and hide under a desk. That is complete mind control. That's terrorizing your children. But that's okay.
You know, you and I have never talked about this on air, I don't think. But I know you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. And I read something the other day that is the bottom line. And it was talking about this experience. You know, I've known a lot of folks that just can't stand to be by themselves. They have to be surrounded by people all the time mm-hmm. for their entertainment or whatever. But, you know, this article that I read, it was about the person that can be alone, that you're never alone if you have your faith. God is always there with you. And I don't mean to get into religion, but that's the truth. So I don't want to be shocked. I'm not going to play that game.
I'm not going to ask to be shocked just so I have some stimulation so I can deal with it. That doesn't make sense.
I'm very pleased to be alone and have no problems with being alone. I'm alone a lot, and yet I know I'm never alone.
I absolutely agree with that. And for people who don't have faith, and I hope that they find it, honestly, because there's nothing better than that. But let's say you don't. Let's expand that. The fact that you feel comfortable with yourself, in your own skin, that you love yourself, this all comes down to self-love, ultimately. If you don't care about yourself, nobody else will care about you more than you do. So if you allow the government, your partner, your boss, your neighbor, to treat you like dirt, and you take it, yet you can't help somebody like that. You honestly can't. I can't tell you that I care more about you, that I don't want you to eat genetically modified food, that I want you to be able to get up in the morning and love what you do when you go to work and get paid appropriately for your skill level. You can buy whatever house you're big enough to buy. I want that for you. But I can't want it more than you do. If you want to sit and watch TV and have someone cut you a check as if that you're owed it, that I took something from you, that it's easier for you to think that you're a victim and it's, you know, somebody owes you because you're perpetually a victim. You can't reason with somebody like that. They've already made the choice to be a puppet or a zombie and to just take what you're given and deal with it and like it and believe that what you've got is good. It's not. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that chronic nasal congestion, a decreased sense of smell, and asthma can be signs of allergies? Allergies are caused when the body is exposed to things you breathe in or eat that the body does not like. The body's immune system reacts and attacks it, what it perceives to be the enemy, even if it causes no harm, like pet dander or dust. This leads to swelling. In the nose, this causes congestion. In the bowel, it causes stomach bloating and diarrhea. In the lung, it causes shortness of breath and wheezing. And in the skin, it causes hives and itching. The first line of defense against allergy is avoidance. Dustproofing, washing pets, and keeping them out of the bedroom can help with environmental causes. For food allergies, keeping a diary of things eaten and reaction to them is helpful. Allergy testing is less time-consuming and is a safe and effective way to identify allergies. For a complete evaluation, you should see your allergy specialist.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, I think I'm a positive person. I may not sound like that all the time on the radio, but I think people need a wake-up call. You know, it's those that are willing and able to take a step back and look at things critically, make, and I don't think these are hard choices anymore. They're becoming easier choices to make. Either you choose to work against your own interests, to work against yourself, to put yourself at the mercy of somebody's, you know, the tender mercies of somebody else, or you handle your business. I mean, if you are, it's on so many levels. Education is key. If your child is in a system where they're learning more about being bullied and how to, you know, not be the best that they can be, and that's what they're telling kids now. You shouldn't want to be there. There's no more valedictorians in certain, some schools. There's no more awards for being an excellent athlete or an excellent student because it's not fair to the people who are just getting by. I mean, they're pushing mediocrity on all fronts. I think, you know, people should read the book Brave New World. I read it when I was in high school. Totally didn't get it. Now I get it. That's exactly what's going on. You're creating a system where everybody's got a niche, where everybody's born to be something. Someone's deciding what you get to be. Not what you're born and what your spirit, what God put you on this earth to do, but what your, what the government needs you to be. A worker bee, you know, whether that is an entertainer, someone to distract people, that's who really gets to be the best. And I take that back because there are chosen entertainers and people in the media and people in entertainment industry that are being pushed because they're serving the agenda as well. Not because they have talent, but because they're being used. And for me, anybody who's being shoved down my throat 24/7, I have a question mark about, and I tend to want to go the opposite way. I know we're not talking about sports too much on our station, but the basketball finals is a perfect example of how the system is so skewed. You had a team that worked, everybody in that team, on the Spurs team, contributed, everybody on the bench, and one or two people on the Heat team actually scored tons of points. And it was talent and being scrappy, moxie, and just being just a whole team effort overwhelmed prima donna. And someone being told 24/7, this person's the best in basketball, the best in the world. Yeah, well, they got exposed. And that's what we need to look at that, because that's really, I think, a cautionary tale of where our system is trying to push us. Look at the shiny thing. Look at how wonderful we are as the government. Look at our programs. We care about you. But when you pull back the lid, it's mediocrity. It's control. It's not very good at all. But the media push, the PR push, it's all about marketing and packaging. And it's nothing like what it's been sold as. It goes from members of the government to their programs, to their laws and these bills, and the fact that they don't apply to Congress half the time should tell everybody something. If it's not good enough for them, then it's not good enough for me as an American citizen, because I'm more important than you are. You work for me. So when we stop having that mentality of these guys are rocks, they're not rock stars. They're servants. They're public servants. They're coming in with no money, leaving as millionaires multiple times over. They're able to inside trade. They're going to nail Phil Mickelson for, quote unquote, you know, having some inside information, yet it's legal for Congress to do it. And they pass laws that help themselves. And that's okay? Really? You've got them lobbyists going up to D.C. and whining and dining, but I can't get a pen from a pharmaceutical rep because, oh my God, I'm going to start prescribing medication because I got a pen. Yet they're getting junkets to, oh, you know, 4-star golf things, and all you talk about swag, going to Congress, Hollywood is nothing on them. Nothing. I mean, they get to write the laws. Well, at least they used to. I don't know what they're doing now. They're not writing any laws unless they're trying to jerry-rig the system. So I used to use this analogy to a friend of mine. It's like someone, I don't know if you ever had this, when you play a game as a kid and you're finally winning and the person is such a sore loser, they turn the board over so you don't win. This is what these people are like. So the Hobby Lobby decision is a Supreme Court decision. It was okay when it was Obamacare, but when it's against them, oh, now we just have to write a new law because, what'd you say? But five white guys are deciding. I mean, this is like a bunch of sore loser, whiny brats who can't win by honest competition, so they have to change the rules, turn the game over.
I got to inject. Harry Reid is one of the biggest idiots I think I've ever seen in my life.
No, he's not, actually, because he gets his stuff done. He will get in your face and lie to you. Like, I never said that. And you show the video, and he said it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that's not me.
Yeah. You're right.
It's incredible. I mean, the hubris, the disrespect, the disregard for reality. And we're the idiots. We're the ones who are anti-American while they continually destroy the country. I haven't seen the movie America yet by Dinesh D'Souza, but I certainly plan to.
Oh, I plan on, you know, and you heard about Costco.
Yeah, I did.
And now all of a sudden they've decided to put the books back on their shelves.
That is the power of
the people.
We the people. As soon as we open up our mouths and say we're done, it stops. If we continue to let them just keep pushing the envelope, we're going to get what we deserve as a group. I'm not in that group, though.
I must say Costco is run by
Walmart, right? Oh, that's Sam's Club.
That's Sam's Club. Kmart is Costco.
Ah.
And they're headquartered in Washington State, need I say more?
Yeah.
And the guy that's the chairman of the board is left of left. And
you know what?
Terrible.
But he understands green. Okay? You're left to a certain point when your money starts being affected, then you're no longer left, then you're a businessman. And as long as we start voting with our pocketbooks and our feet, it doesn't matter what your personal politics is. I don't care what your personal politics is. Have at it. But when it starts to affect me and my ethics and my morals, I'm taking a stand. I'm not going, and my personal safety, I'm not going to do it. And as long as people decide, or when and if more people decide, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to eat genetically modified food. I'm not going to... And there's another article came out about high fructose corn syrup. About 60% of high fructose corn syrup has mercury in it because of the way it's manufactured. If we stop drinking that stuff, they will stop making it. They'll stop making NutraSweet and aspartame because the money is being affected. All they care about is money. The way they're controlling us now is they're trying to make themselves the only game in town so you have nowhere else to go. That's how Obamacare worked. That's how the hospitals and the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies all aligned against us. They've done a bang-up job of putting private doctors out of business. They want to put supplement companies out of business, or they bought them up, so they now control them. The hospitals put community hospitals and freestanding surgery centers out of business by buying them, or, you know, in terms of urgent cares, building corporate urgent cares next to freestanding urgent care so they can try to put them out. This is not honest competition because they will lose every time. This is not, the Spurs heat is just a symptom of what happens when we decide we're not taking it anymore. We're going to work together against and stop working against our interests. You know, this whole race baiting system, it's tragic. Because the people, let's say the black Americans who believed, I don't know how many still left, believed that the government was going to finally be, you know, work for us instead of us being on the outside looking in, are on the precipice of being pushed off a cliff by the immigration wave that's coming. I talked about people ending up in a system where there's a lot of violence, where there's desperate people. Well, what neighborhoods do you think these guys are going to end up in? It's not going to be Buckhead. It's going to be in the hood. And there's going to be a complete free-for-all. First of all, the government and the police situation is bad enough in those neighborhoods. Well, you multiply that with people coming in who are used to strife, who are used to violence, who thrive on it, and better at it than you are, then you're really going to be out of luck. It's tragic. And the people who think the government, I mean, slavery was no, it's, let's not even go there. There's nothing good about it. But I'd rather be an American than anywhere else in this world, because I have a chance and had a chance and have taken advantage of the opportunities given to me to make something and create something. I couldn't do this in England. I couldn't do this in France. I couldn't do this in a myriad. I can't even list the number of countries that I wouldn't be sitting in the studio. The point is, we can make it better. And we make it better by pulling together, not by pulling apart. So every time they use the, oh, it's 60s and we had to go through the back door and, you know, black people are victims constantly, as if nothing has changed. This is the mindset that I just don't get. You have a black president voted in twice. You've got all these MSNBC heads who are making multi-million dollar contracts having the nerve to sit here and tell you that it's worse. It, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. My mother had to go through the back door, had to sit in the balcony, couldn't try on clothing. And I went to Princeton. I'm sitting in this studio. I'm a doctor. Don't tell me nothing has changed. I don't believe that. And if you do, then do you, but not try to tear down and make everybody victim so that you can feel good about yourself. And this is what that is, too. That's how this works. These are, I mean, to me, the thing that, the glue that's running this system is a bunch of academics who really do believe that they know what's best for all of us. Whether they're black academic, white, it doesn't matter.
That have never done a damn thing.
Never. Or they've been part of the 60s movement and bombed people and committed all sorts of crimes and now sitting in ivory towers doing what they said they were always going to do. That they decided not to do it by guns and bullets, but by intellectual pursuit. And they're doing a damn good job at it because they're playing us off against ourselves, our own interests, and each other. And until we let that stop, then they're going to continue to try to do what they want to do, which is to break the system and have them run it. We're in trouble if we let that happen. So on this note before we go, I really recommend that you get out there, read Brave New World, start making some changes so you can control your life, and we'll be here to help you. Thank you for listening. This is Medicine on Call.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.